Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. Tomorrow, the One Scene unites in the Panhandle. Saturday, May 18th, From Within Records Spring 2024 Showcase. It will be going down live at the Handlebar. If you haven't had a chance, grab your tickets. Magnitude, Malice at the Palace, Seat of Pain, Envision, Worn, Collateral, Dimension 6, Statement of Pride, Burning Strong, and Milestone. If you haven't had a chance to check out Milestone, they're a new band out of Pensacola. Their music's streaming everywhere. I think they're awesome, and you should definitely check them out. There's a new Temple Guard song streaming, so if you haven't had a chance to check out Temple Guard, I highly suggest you check them out. They're awesome. And more new music from Within Records. Face Your Fears, Hanover's Hardest. If you haven't had a chance, please check out their music. Pick up a tape. They're awesome. And if you're not following From Within Records on social media, please go boot up X, go boot up Instagram, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band or for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. Before we get into today's guest, who is coming from New Jersey, I'm a huge fan of New Jersey. I always got to fill you in on what's going on in the K-pop world. So I'm slowly trying to turn all of you who aren't K-pop stans into K-pop stans. Just got back from the best place on earth, K-pop Music Town. I can show you this. We just picked up our copy of Bibyup. It was sold out last time, so they had to actually bring one in from one of their other locations, which I truly appreciate. Best customer service from K-pop Music Town. I would ride or die for them. They've supported me through this crazy obsession for the past 4 years. Last Christmas, here's a fun fact, somewhere back here, last Christmas, they gave me a staff shirt, which was amazing. I was blown away. I'm waiting for a very special occasion to bust it out, but I will one day wear that with pride. But K-pop is awesome. BBG just announced a tour. I mentioned that last time, but tickets go on sale today as this episode drops. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, I will have already purchased my VVIP ticket, which I hope I'm happy about in the future, because I'm thinking about it now. This is a group that I really enjoy, or I enjoyed, when they first came out. I was like, okay, this is going to be one of my new favorite groups. And for people who may not remember, their debut single was a song called Bop Bop, and that was the intro music for the podcast for a while. I'm not sure which stretch of episodes. I want to say from maybe 200 to 300, that's what the intro music was. I'll have to go back to verify, but BBG was the intro music for a really long time. But sadly, the releases after that have just been okay. I've obviously followed them to this day. I bought all their albums, and I'm just hoping that they would kind of get to the point where I'm super into them like I was when they first came out. But it just hasn't hit that hard, so I don't know if I want to get too crazy with tickets tomorrow. They're playing the Palace Theater in LA, which I've been to before. I went and saw Pixie there, which was a very, very interesting experience, because this was the first K-pop concert that I went to where I wasn't a fan of the group. I went because some homies hit me up, like, hey, we're going to go see Pixie. We'll buy your ticket. Do you want to go? And I was like, sure, if you guys want to buy my ticket, I can't really say no. And I just want to hang out. And I went, if I'm being honest, I don't even know if my friends like noticed, because they didn't say anything to me, but I literally slept like through like half the concert. I was so tired, and I don't even think I had work or anything the next day. I just didn't really care for the music, because I tried to get into them. I remember like leading into the concert, and it just wasn't really my vibe. So I literally, because it was in an actual like theater with seats, so everybody was standing, But I was just like, I don't care. This isn't my alt group. This isn't even a top 20 group. Like, I'm grateful for my friends for taking me. Like I said, I was super down for the hang, but the actual concert, I was just not really vibing with it. So I was just like, all right, I'm going to try to get comfortable and just kind of nod off and hopefully not piss anybody off, because there was like some crazy pixie stands in there, but I just didn't care. It was great. I slept. But going back to the Palace Theater will be fun, because this is a group I obviously know more about, but like I said, they're like, BBG is awesome, but I don't even think they're top 10 for me, which I'm trying to be way more selective these days, because like, as I'm knocking out, or just like knocking down like the list of like groups that I've never seen before, like obviously I've never seen BBG. They've come to America once. They came last year. They played this con in Vegas. I cannot remember the name of the con. And the con was happening this year, the same con, but I think it got canceled because last year it did terrible, right? People were paying thousands of dollars. And then day of, they were giving those same tickets that people paid thousands of dollars for away for free because attendance was just so bad. But it was just really bad timing, because last year it was going down the same time as Coachella, and Blackpink was playing Coachella, and you know, there's crazy amounts of Blackpink fans, so that attendance at the con was really low. Because I had a friend, shout out Chaewon, I had a friend who went, and she actually took videos of BBG for me, and she was telling me, she was like, yeah, like we wasted money, it was like definitely wasn't worth it. So this year they try to do it again with a very mediocre lineup. I think NMIX was scheduled to play. That was like one group that I really wanted to see. Obviously, I love NMIX. You can't see it, but behind the camera, I have Haewon hanging up. So she's looking over the setup. She's making sure the podcast always go great. But NMIX was scheduled to play. And there was like one other group that I can't think off the top of my head. It had to have been Kiss of Life or somebody else, like one of these new groups that I hadn't seen yet. And that was it. But once again, it's not worth paying thousands of dollars to see just two groups. So like I said, these days I'm trying to be like way more selective. Like if Twice comes through, for sure, like I'll throw crazy amounts of money to see Twice. Same thing with Stacey. Like we pulled the trigger last year, paid a pretty, I say fair for resale prices. Obviously it's like way more expensive than retail, but for resale, I felt like it was fair to be able to get VIP. So that was no problem for me, because Stacey's like top three. Whenever Weekly comes, Weekly's supposed to do a US tour this year. We'll see how that goes down. But whenever they come, I'm going to try to hit multiple dates. But yeah, if I don't just absolutely love the group anymore, I don't know how willing I'm just wanting to spend money, crazy amounts of money on it. So we'll see. Future me, hopefully we made the right choice and we don't regret it. But I do want to see BBG, but I just don't know. And it's also the week before KCON, so there's all these other factors. But BBG is coming to town, and this has been a crazy year for K-pop. But if you're not a fan, please go listen to the K-pop Caviar or DM me. I'll send you personalized playlist. I'll send you stuff that's not even on K-pop Caviar. I'll send you the exclusive stuff. But I'm a huge fan. I'm always buying K-pop. I'm always looking. I love talking K-pop. So if you enjoy it, hit me up. Let's nerd out. Let's talk about it. But on today's episode, we had to track down our good friend Sunny Boy, coming out of New Jersey, played in Threat to Society. All respect to Threat to Society. But this was a really fun conversation. This is somebody who I was just surprised to have met, because we have so many mutual friends, and I had to reach out to, because I'd never heard of him before. So I was like, yo, hit up some of my friends from New Jersey. I'm like, do you know this guy? What do you think of this guy? And everybody's like, oh, dude, he's awesome. Definitely have him on the podcast. So I was just like, this is so weird that this guy knows so many of my friends. Like, right, we had so many of the same friends, so many mutuals, and it just never popped on my radar. But finally sitting down and getting to have like a real in-depth conversation with Patrick, this was great. I'm a huge fan of his music. If you're not familiar with Sonny Boy, I highly suggest you hit pause, go listen to the Tired of Trying EP, which came out last year, and get ready for new music, hopefully soon. But I'm just such a fan of Sonny Boy, and I just want everybody out there who may not be familiar to be a fan, because I just love the music that he's doing, and I'm just hoping that we get new music very soon. But it's awesome. I had a really great time talking to Patrick, just hearing about his upbringing and how he just got into music, which I think is an awesome story, because if you just put your mind to it, and you know, and this sounds so cliche, right? If you just put your mind to it and you want it bad enough, you can make it happen. But it's true. I think it's 100% true, because once upon a time, I had a camera, I had a microphone, I had a really nice computer, and I wasn't doing anything with it. And it wasn't until I started doing these email interviews, and I always have to shout out Taylor Young. Here's a, you know, for people who may not remember or who've never heard this story, but way back in the day, Disgrace, right? Was it Disgrace? Oh, excuse me, not Disgrace. I'm getting mixed up. Eyes of the Lord put out their EP, and I was just like, damn, this is so awesome. So I just hit up Taylor Young. I'm like, yo, like I'm really digging the EP. Do you mind just answering a couple questions? And he was down, which I was super hyped on, because before that, and even till now, it's no personal relationship. It was just, you know, just a random dude, and hitting him up for questions about the EP. He was down to answer him, which was cool. And that rolled over to me hitting up probably like, I want to say four or five more people. And doing these interviews over email, which was cool. And I would like post them on my website, which I don't even have them anymore, if I'm being honest, because this was like the last version of my website, because I didn't transfer everything over when I created the version that's up now. I just wanted to start with like a clean slate. But I was doing these email interviews, and the one thing that always happened with these was like, I was so stoked on the answers, but I always wanted more. And I was like, man, I need to solve that problem, because I didn't want to send multiple emails. So one day I just had the bright idea. I'm like, dude, I have the equipment to do a podcast. I listened to a bunch of podcasts. I was like, I think I could make it work. I don't know how, but I'll figure it out. And sure enough, through hard work and dedication and the desire to want to make it happen, here we are so many years later, 400 and something odd episodes later, we're here. So please, if you want to do something, just try it. The worst that's going to happen is you're going to fail, and you just move on with your life. It ain't the end of the world. Or you can end up with something, with a new passion, you know, something that you've been craving for a long time. But it's been awesome. It's, you know, literally it's consumed my life, which I never knew where it was going to go, if it was going to go anywhere. Like, a shout out to Antonio from Spine. If he would have said no, I probably would have got discouraged and probably never asked another person from a band to come on again. But he was the real like starting point of the podcast, which was like, I want to say like episode like 19 or 20. But yeah, he was the first person to come on the podcast from a band. He gave me a shot, and people were into it, got a lot of good feedback. And like I said, here we are, 400 odd episodes later, and still going strong. I'm currently booking out June. Got some really cool guests lined up, which I'm just super excited for. And going to do a bit of traveling in the summer. And we're going to have cool stuff. There's constantly cool stuff coming, which I'm happy to do and happy to provide for all of you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of your support, your constant support. But please strap in, enjoy this episode. Without further ado, welcome Patrick to the show.
All right, and where we're recording, welcome to the podcast. Patrick, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Just chilling here in Orange County. How's it going out there?
It's good. I'm out in Jersey City. I've been here for a bunch of years now, but yeah, New Jersey's been good. It's still a little too cold. Need a little more warmth. I just came back from a trip from Austin, Texas, so it was like 90 degrees there, but I come back, it's like 50.
Okay, and I'm curious, why were you out in Austin?
So I work for a remote company, like a remote marketing agency, and we had like a 3-day retreat out there because that's where they're based out of.
Okay.
So I meet some coworkers and all that stuff.
Wow. And do you thrive in those kind of situations? Because sometimes I feel like there can be just like weird pressure. Just I'm like very antisocial, so knowing that okay, I'm going into this situation to like meet new people, it's like, oh god, this is not going to be my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, I was definitely have a little anxiety. There was like one dude that I would talk about hardcore with, which was awesome. He's okay. From Kansas City, and so I was like, all right, at least I'm gonna have like a music buddy if it like gets real weird. But everyone was actually super nice. It's actually the first job I've worked I don't actively dislike anyway.
Okay, that's awesome. That's really good to hear. And have you had any experience with Austin before that trip?
Actually, no. I was there for like less than 24 hours in like 2011, 2012. I was on tour with my friends, band called Washington Square Park, and we did like a full U.S. over there, and we were just on our way to Arizona from like the panhandle of Florida, and just like crashed at a friend's place and like walked down like the fratty 6th Street.
Okay.
And it was just like a bunch of shots bars, and we're like, we have to leave early.
Wow. And if you don't mind me asking, how long were you there this time?
3 days. It was like a pretty packed 3 days. I got to actually tour Austin City Live, or Austin City Limits Live, which is like a venue over there. Cloud Nothings is actually playing there like next week, but took us like backstage and stuff, saw a bunch of like really cool pictures of Neil Young and just like Kendrick Lamar and like all people that have played that venue before. So it was a cool little music lesson that I didn't actually really expect to be on this work trip.
That's awesome. I'm always curious about Austin. I went there once, and this was back in 2020 during the pandemic, and I did like a road trip out there with some friends, and we were out there for a very short period of time because it was such a just a random trip, and it was like, all right, like we had one goal in mind, and they're fans of like horror movies, so they wanted to go visit the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre house, and they just invited me because obviously like we're on the same friend circle, and they're like, hey, like we're thinking about doing this trip, are you down? I'm like, yeah, fuck it, like let's do it. So we went and probably spent like just a day, but it was all just doing like stuff related to that movie. So there's just like, you know, a whole other part of the city that I did like we didn't even get to see. So I'm hoping one day I could get back there and check it out, because I'm always very curious about that place.
Yeah, and I tried to find some like bars that were putting on shows, but it was like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so there really wasn't much going on. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Me and my wife are super into like horror movies and stuff like that, so we didn't get out to that house. But that sounds like a fucking cool trip.
Yeah, I was blown away, and I've told the story before, but I'm not like super into horror movies, so I agreed to the trip, but the whole time I thought we were going to the house from the Texas Chainsaw with like Jessica Biel, like the one from like the early 2000s. Yeah. So that's like all I was picturing. But then we pull up to this, like, it's like some sort of like diner spot now. Like the house is like, they like use it as a business, and they kind of embrace the fact that it was the Texas Chainsaw like Massacre house. Cause we went inside, and there was like, you know, the employees were wearing shirts that, you know, had Texas Chainsaw on it. And then you're able to like walk around, and they had some like cardboard cutouts of Leatherface, which I thought was like pretty interesting. But it's like, yeah, like I would have never known, cause like it's in like some random neighborhood near like water, which I thought was like pretty, pretty cool.
That's awesome. Definitely interesting.
Yeah, and you briefly mentioned Kendrick Lamar. Are you caught up to speed on what's going on with him and Drake these days?
Yeah, for sure. The Kendrick Lamar's response was so fucking good that I'm sure Drake will try and respond, but like I'm a Drake hater. Like,
oh wow. Okay.
I think he's I like his pop songs, like his little dance songs are great, but I never thought that dude was tough. And like when he tries to act tough, I'm just like, it doesn't work for me. Cause like, I don't know. But that might be a minority opinion, but again, I'm a Drake hater. I think Kendrick Lamar's a genius, and this other stuff, I'm a little bit of a stan for him, but
okay, where
you land on that whole thing? Where does the left side of the country?
I feel like I'm in the minority out here because I'm like not a fan of Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, you know, like I really enjoyed Good Kid, Mad City, but everything after that, I just could not really get into. Like I thought, you know, Damn was okay. To Pimp a Butterfly was not my thing, you know, I've always tried to understand, like, I get why people, you know, are a fan of him and respect him. I don't hate him, but I just don't think his music is for me. So, but in terms of Drake, I love everything that Drake does. You know, I'm not like, oh my God, like I'm fighting for Drake, but I feel like I could listen to more of Drake's music than Kendrick Lamar's music. And I'm like really into rap, so I've been following rap you know, pretty closely for a long time. So when this finally popped off, because for anyone who knows, like, this stuff's been, like, you know, been brewing for a long time, so for it to finally you know, be where it's at today, I'm just like, wow, this is insane. And I'm really curious on you know, how it's gonna end. I don't know who's gonna win. Obviously, like, I listen to more of Drake's music, but I don't, you know, I wouldn't care if, you know, Kendrick came out and shut him down. It'd be pretty interesting. But, you know, like I said, for anyone who knows anything about rap, you know, Drake lost his last rap battle, so it wouldn't be the first time that he lost if he loses to Kendrick. But it's just pretty interesting. I've always am curious to see how, like, things like this play out. And it makes it a little interesting because, yeah, rap is, you know, been okay, but like, as of late, like, I'm not like super heavy into rap as I used to be. So for it to, you know, for this like big drama for like the whole world to kind of, you know, be talking about it, I was like, okay, this is pretty interesting.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine, actually the other guy that plays guitar with me, and Sonny Boy. And we're just talking about, I was like, you know what? I like feel like I'm not listening to a lot of hip hop recently, because whenever I put on a record, it's like 30 songs long and I only like 3 songs. Mm-hmm. And I'm the type of person where I'm not very specific with the music I put out. Like, I will put like 12 albums on a playlist and then like shuffle them. Like, that's how I typically go into listening to music. So like, I'll throw like a few albums on. Like, I listened to Schoolboy Q's new record and I really liked it, but like, I don't know. I just didn't like vibe with it, like his past records and stuff like that. But I don't know. I being close to New York is dope because we've always had hip hop and stuff like that. Like, Jersey City is a half mile away from New York City. I worked in New York City my entire life, so it's like it's very cool being close to that big city and being close to that, especially when I was kind of growing up in like the early 2000s and stuff. Because you kind of felt like there was still like rap coming out in New York, and that, like, I haven't really gotten into like drill stuff, and I just haven't really picked it up, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's something I just haven't really like been diving to it too much into. I find myself just running back to like my MF Doom classics and stuff like that.
Yeah, I pay attention to the drill stuff, but it's just, it's hard for me to consume because I feel like a fraud when I'm listening to these guys rapping about, you know, smoking their ops and just like very specific stuff. And like, you know, it's interesting, right? Because if you dive, you know, deep into their lyrical content, you realize, like, oh shit, like, these guys are like telling real stories. Some people out there faking, obviously, but when I'm like trying to spin those records, I just don't find them as enjoyable because I've never killed anybody. I'm not, you know, defending any kind of, you know, territory. So it's just a little different when it comes to that kind of stuff. But I am familiar with that. But yeah, going to rap shows is a completely different vibe than going to like a normal like hardcore punk show. It's kind of fun though, just because it's just like, wow, like the way that the shows are run like out here, like there's just like a plethora of like openers, and I'm like, where the hell do all these people come from? I've never heard of any of these openers, and like the one artist that I want to see, like I have to wait like till very late into the night till they decide to hit the stage. And there's been times where it's been worth it, but then other times where I'm just like, wow, this is pretty terrible. I wish I would have just like stayed home. I haven't been to one in a while, but I highly encourage anybody who's never been to Rapture, you should definitely check it out because they're pretty wild.
Yeah. At this point, if it's any more than like a 3 or 4 band show, I'm very hesitant to go. I think if you could craft together a good 4 band show, then like that should be enough people to like fill out whatever room you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like if you do your research on the bands and make sure they like fit together and stuff like that, I feel like a solid 4 band show is like really where we should max it out with all that. I've played way too many like 6, 7, 8 whatever band shows. Mm-hmm. And you know, those are no fun. Are you in bands and stuff like that? Like, do you play any instruments?
No, I do not know how to play anything. And being in bands, it's a lot of work. And these days, I just don't have enough time to you know, dedicate to that. So, I feel that. But four bands is nice, but I like a nice 5 band bill.
Five's your sweet spot.
Yeah, 5's my sweet spot because there's just because out here that there's just so many good bands. It's just like, wow, like we could, you know, 4 is like we could make 4 work, obviously, but I feel like just making it mesh together with 5 is just right because when you start, you know, getting into the 6, 7 territory, that's where like, all right, damn it, like this is you know, it could drag. And then the more chances of, you know, falling behind in scheduling. So I just like a nice 5 band bill.
I feel that.
Yeah, because it is terrible when you see a flyer and you're just like, wow, there's about 3 too many bands. And you know, you always want to try to do your best to support. But then it gets to those, you know, where it's like, wow, like, is it really going to be worth it? Or do I show up late? And yeah,
those are beginning bands, like, yeah, you want to support stuff like that, but yeah. I feel like honestly, like after COVID hit, like the shows just got, like kids just missed shows, like people just missed shows, I feel like. And I feel like a lot of the shows going on now are like having like really healthy crowds and like just a lot of people hanging out trying to find some good music, which is something I felt like kind of lacked a little bit, like when I was so when I was in my first hardcore band, 96, we started in like 2011, and we didn't really know anybody. So like we were like 4 dudes who like hardcore and punk and stuff like that, but we didn't have any like existing relationships in like the scene that was going on around us, which was like Montclair, New Jersey, more North Jersey. We didn't know anybody in the Shore area or anything like that. So we kind of started knowing no one, playing like to 2 to 4 people, you know, for a couple months and stuff like that. But now, like, I'm seeing bands play their first shows to like completely packed out rooms and stuff like that, and it's just great to see. I just like love seeing people supporting live music and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I, you know, for as bad as you know, the pandemic was, I feel like it kind of opened up a lot of people's eyes to the fact that this subculture, like these shows, none of it is guaranteed, right? Because you got to think, there's like this long streak where it's like, all right, you know, bands are playing shows, people are booking shows, and it's just a thing that happened. But for it to get taken away and for it to not be able to happen on a regular basis, like safely, obviously there was like underground shows, secret shows, which were questionable. I know, you know, some people got upset at that kind of stuff. But for it to be able to happen again, and kids were like, you know, were finally able to be like, okay, this was taken away from us, like, let's like fully embrace it while we can, now that it can happen again. And obviously while the lockdown was happening, there's like a whole new generation of kids who are just discovering that music through the internet. So yeah, it has been really cool to see you know, scenes across the world just thrive, and shows selling out. Like, I remember when, like, for a while, like when shows were just coming back, you had to buy tickets in advance because things were selling out instantly, because kids just were so stoked on shows being back. That was a really cool thing to see. So yeah, so I think just not having it readily available, like, played a major part in people kind of realizing, like, you know, like, we can't take this for granted. We gotta go full force, like, when we're able to get back to it.
Yeah, for sure. And like, it's really funny because like when the pandemic hit, like I was in at least one or two bands practicing like at least once a week from 2011 all the way until the pandemic hit. So I was always centered. Like, the most consistent thing that happened to me in that period of my life, in the 10, 11 years, was music, was these bands and stuff like that, you know? And it really just, like, I felt like giving up a little bit, because I was like, you know what? I was like, I don't have a job because I got laid off. I got laid off like 3 times during the pandemic. So I'm having like work troubles. I just got married. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to like support my family and all that stuff. And I was like, fuck, maybe I really need to like focus on work, which fucking sucks, or whatever a career is and shit like that, you know? And maybe just kind of leave the music stuff to the side. And I kept having like invasive thoughts for song ideas. And I taught myself to like record on GarageBand. I was like, you know what? I don't think this is something I could just put aside. I think I'm always going to need to be working on songs, or even if it's not like a serious band that's playing all the time, just still be creating with it. And luckily I have like some really good friends that play with me and Sonny Boy that kind of allow me to just drive the ship. And it just turned into like a cool thing. So like, I really was gonna like stop playing music for a while, and or not, I might have been forever, you know. But I'm happy I kept with it. My wife has always been super supportive about it. And like, yeah man, just like even like talking about it, like, it's just what I love to do. It's the most consistent thing that has happened to me in my life. And you know, not a lot of people have very consistent things going on in their lives right now. So
100%. Yeah. I owe a lot to music. Just even getting into hardcore, like, changed my life, right? Because I founded it at a point in time where I didn't really know who I was, didn't have any friends, and just, you know, getting introduced to hardcore through my older sister, and then just being down for it. And, you know, just kind of just finding my own path in the scene and supporting for so long, I eventually was able to, you know, obviously carve out like my own taste, made my own friends. And because of hardcore, I you know, have, you know, traveled to, you know, places like Bogota for hardcore. I've, you know, friends across the world that I talk to pretty regularly because of hardcore. I do this podcast, you know, because of hardcore. Like, obviously, like, there's people that I have on that aren't hardcore related. Those are a little more rare these days. But, you know, the main driving force behind this whole thing, like, intentionally wasn't supposed to be like a hardcore thing, but that's just what it turned into, right? Because the majority of people that I talk to and share interests with are people from the scene. So, yeah, like, I don't know where I would be or what kind of person I would be if I never got into hardcore, because it's been with me since I was a teenager, since I was like 13, 14.
Dude, I know what you mean. I was, when I went to my first hardcore show, it was like Folly and the Banner at this place called Bloomfield Ave Cafe in Montclair, New Jersey. And I just remember seeing like beat the shit out of each other. And I was like, this is the fucking coolest thing I have ever been a part of, and just never stopped going to shows. And it was, I attended a lot of shows like in high school. I was in bands, but I was in more like Trustkill Records type metalcore bands at that time when I was like 18 or 19. And then I stopped playing music in college because I was like trying to, I was trying to like fit in with just like not a group that I had anything in common with, but like my family kind of like pushed me in a certain way because they were a certain type of people. Like there's no like creative people in my family. They're very like kind of like tight knit, you know, like Italians from New Jersey, like buttoned up, you know, kind of. So I kind of came out of left field a little bit. And yeah, just like hardcore, like taught me that like I there are just so many people out there that are your type of people. Like you don't have to force yourself to be anybody's friend or anything like that, especially like when you're younger and stuff. So it's just, it really taught me a lot. It basically gave me every political lesson I ever needed, listening to hardcore and like just jumping into that sort of perspective of things. But yeah, dude, I can't believe I'm actually still talking to the people I met through hardcore in Jersey. And, you know, they're helping Sunny Boy out now with shows. And what's it called? I've been talking with RTF Records, and I'm hoping to put a tape out with them soon. And like, that's sick. You know, it's cool to know that like that dude is, you know, typically only puts out hardcore stuff. But, you know, he heard Sunny Boy and was like, yo, like, I want to put this out. We've talked before because he's put out 96 stuff before and being in Threat to Society as well. So it's just cool. It's just very cool to see that the scene is still pretty tight knit. Still just like everyone's doing it because they still love it.
100%. And I'm always amazed at, you know, with the internet and it kind of making hardcore. I feel like it just kind of peels back a layer from like this underground scene, so it's obviously like way more accessible, and it is definitely in front of you know, more eyes and ears these days than before. But it's still surprising to me at how underground hardcore still is this day and age. And it's cool too, because when you meet another hardcore kid, it's just like there's like instantly there's like a special bond, because you know, you walk out into you know, the local grocery store, the mall or whatever, and you know, 9 times out of 10 people still don't know what hardcore actually is.
Yeah, they're usually saying it's like, oh, you listen to Linkin Park, right? I was like, yeah, I did when I was like 13.
Linkin Park. Yeah, I always test the waters. I'll ask like, have you heard of Hatebreed? And depending on the answer, it's like, all right, if they know.
Very good litmus test.
Yeah, because it's very nuanced, right? Because hardcore is you know, it's so you know, rich with history, even though it hasn't been around for you know, as long as some of these other genres. I think it's wild. But yeah, I always dread having to try to explain hardcore to an outsider, because you know, like I said, my sister showed it to me. And then I was just kind of, you know, like off to the races and just figured out like my own taste and met, you know, people, a lot of people, you know, along the way, and listened to and saw a lot of bands. So for me to try to break it down for someone who isn't involved is just pretty hard.
Yeah. I would say that there needs to be like a kind of basic understanding, you know what I mean, in order to be able to like, kind of vibe on it with somebody else. But yeah, it's always good talking. Like, even like I was telling you, that guy I met from work, he was telling me that he went to go check out like Destiny Bond last month, and I never listened to them before, and they're sick, you know, like their last record they put out is super cool. And but it was just cool because we don't have to only talk about work stuff. We could at least kind of vibe out on, you know, some other things when we don't feel like talking about projects. I'm a project manager. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love meeting you know, people in hardcore that I click with. You know, obviously I'm not going to click with everybody, but like when I meet those people, I'm like, wow, like this is cool, because here I am so many odd years later, and I'm still like meeting people who are just like as much into it as I am. Like I do a monthly playlist, and like I put out the latest one the other day. And I was just sitting there just so stoked. I was like, damn, like last month was like a really good month for hardcore. And I'm just always like so blown away. Like I've never gotten to the point where I've gotten bored of hardcore, or I ever thought I got stale. Like there's just so many good bands from all over happening all the time. So I'm always more amazed at how awesome hardcore still is after so many years.
Yeah, no, people are putting in work and releasing some like really cool shit. I feel like people are starting to like experiment a little bit more, like even just like genre wise, like Palmora blew me away. That band is so sick. And like specifically just because I got into hardcore and like that old school metalcore, like I was so into like Black Dahlia Murder, 18 Visions, and like Throwdown, like all that stuff. And so I see Balmora do their Black Dahlia Murder cover, and I was like, wow, they covered the instrumental track from the first Black Dahlia record. And I was like, this is sick. I listened to them and they sound like the bands that I started kind of listening to when getting into aggressive music. And it was kind of a breath of fresh air. It was really cool to see that like people are still like experimenting with that sound and kind of looking back to like, you know, like 20 years ago to see like what bands were doing and stuff like that. It's just that it was cool. I really like that stuff. Getting into like Trustkill and like Ferret Records stuff was really like big for me. When I started out, loved like Cave-In, all that good stuff. Although I will say the thing that first, I would say I have a really early memory watching like fucking MTV2 or some shit, and a commercial for a Comeback Kid record comes on, and it's for Wake the Dead, and it's the video for Wake the Dead, and you just hear like the gang vocal part like at the end of that, and I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard. I missed the name of the band, and I actually spent like 2 to 3 weeks looking at CD stores to like figure out what fucking band it was. I couldn't figure it out. And once I found it out and figured out like Victory Records and all that stuff that was going on, I was like, oh man, this is my shit. I used to like really only listen to, not only listen to, but I was super into like thrash metal, like Metallica, Slayer, all that good stuff. But this was like new music that was like, wow, I could go see these bands with like 100 kids and like feel like a part of it. And that's always the thing that like really got me about this is like, I felt like a part of it. When I'm at the show, you feel accepted into it, whether you're singing along or hanging out, or you can talk to the singer after their set. I've had many, many interactions with people that are in bands that are way more famous than mine will ever be, and just have very cool, very real conversations with them. Befriended some people too, which is like a very cool thing. So. It's just the being able to like reach out and like touch it, you know, there's no barricade or there's no fucking thing in a huge stage in front of you really separating you from the audience. Just the energy's there and the energy's the same in that whole room. And that's always really what got me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like always been this like indescribable feeling. Like I remember when I was younger and my mom was just always so confused at like what I was doing, because there was like these like strange tattooed older guys like coming to pick up her, you know, teenage son to go to places she's never even heard of, to see bands she's never heard of. And she was very like apprehensive in the beginning, because she obviously judged my friends because they looked a certain way, which is fair, because this is back when it wasn't normal to have tattoos, right? Because tattoos are like way more normalized today, versus back then. Like tattoos used to be like a rebellious thing, like only like, you know, gangsters and like crazy people had tattoos. So when my friends would roll up and like, you know, they were covered in tattoos, and she'd be kind of like concerned, but she eventually kind of realized like, oh shit, like this is like what my kid is into. Obviously I don't understand it, but he's not out there getting into too much trouble. He's not, you know, robbing, murdering, or killing anybody. He's out there just doing what he loves, and is seemingly being taken care of by these older people, which I was. Those guys are always I credit like a lot of my older friends for kind of shaping like the person that I kind of grew up to be, because without those shows, like I said earlier, like I don't know who I'd be or where I'd be. I've never been able to like fully like express what it feels like to go to a hardcore show to somebody. I was just like, it's like this like indescribable like energy. You can just feel it. Cause like, you know, like we've been to all different types of shows, but there's nothing like a good hardcore show.
There really isn't. There's no better feeling. I feel It's funny because I feel the same way at like pro wrestling shows. Sometimes you just get like that like peak moment, like whether it's like the fucking ill breakdown or just like, you know, the favorite song that you went there to like go see and go crazy for. It's just like gives you chills and just like gets you so amped. And there still isn't a feeling like that, like just being at like your favorite band's like show and just going ballistic. I can't go ballistic anymore because I fucking hurt myself way too many times. I'm like going fucking neck doctors and shit now because all the dumb shit I used to do at shows and when I was playing. I'm learning a lot of my musician friends now are having neck and back problems and stuff. So that's been different to deal with.
Yeah, I'm way more conservative when it comes to going crazy. But there's times where it's just like I can't control it. Like more recently, I was at LDB and Weapon X covered First Blood. And I remember I was like standing on stage and I'm a huge fan of Weapon X. But then I hear the sample that they're playing and I'm like, oh, wow, that's... Is that the same sample as First Blood? I'm like, there's no way they're covering First Blood. And then they go into First Blood and I'm just like, oh shit. Like I was like, I don't care. I was like, as long as I don't lose my glasses, my wallet, like I'm going crazy. So I jumped off stage and like hit the pit. And I was just like, moments like that where I'm just like, wow. Like I wasn't, expecting to hear a First Blood cover, but I'm a huge fan of that band, and just to be able to hear something like that live again, I was like, all right, I got to go crazy. This is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's mad fun. Very, very in the moment type genre and stuff like that, which is, it's great. I'm so happy that like, again, like the scene is still like thriving, especially in Jersey and stuff like that. Like the shows that I've been showing up to, like they're just kids. I mean, New Brunswick has always had it, but dudes and Never Again and Cut Down, they got that shit on lock. Their shows are so fucking good. And Ricky, I don't know if you know Ricky, but he's in Eyes of Fear and Negative Force, so he's been running a lot of the shows in North Jersey. Him and a friend just opened up a DIY spot in Jersey City at like one of their practice spaces that a bunch of people have been coming out to. There was a good show last night, but I flew back late yesterday. But it's just like, it's good to see. It just makes you feel good that people are doing it. And these kids that are starting bands are like getting the satisfaction that they want out of it. A full crowd or people giving them a chance or people beating the shit out of each other for them, you know? So it's just a good feeling. I say to everybody that like, I would not be playing music right now if all the people around me weren't booking shows, playing music, like was producing, like, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't have enough money to do it. Like, I wouldn't have anybody to book me on any shows or anything. So Sunny Boy really is as much a product of like the scene around me than it is just coming from me. You know, like I write the songs, but like the support and the people that I've met through my like, you know, 10, 15 year kind of stint with music is the only reason why I'm still doing this. And I'm very grateful like every day for that sort of stuff. Cause I mean, if I didn't have like one of my best friends, like be like a really talented producer, I wouldn't be able to afford, actual studio time and stuff like that. If I didn't have like some of the kids that are, some of the guys that are still booking shows, and like, I wouldn't have any shows to be playing. So I'm just I'm very lucky, and I feel very like, very blessed that these things are still going on around me and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you mentioned Cut Down, Never Again. I have a huge respect for those guys, just because like early days of the podcast, Jason and Avery came on when Fence Cutter was still a thing. And they've always shown me nothing but love and respect, you know, from early on to now. And when I think about, you know, the only times that I've been to Jersey is to support Cut Down and Never Again, that always holds a special place in my heart. And then even thinking about like, just whenever I travel, they just happen to be there, which is always a plus. Like they were a big reason why I went to Columbia, because my buddy Jeff, who does Feet First Productions, he was trying to convince me to go. And then also my buddy Carl Gunhouse from he lives in Brooklyn, but he's from Jersey. I don't know exactly which part.
Met him a couple times, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, great guy. But they're like, yeah, like you got to go, and then like they're like, yeah, you know, Cut Down Never Again's playing, and I was like, oh, I fucking love those guys. And you know, I live in California, I don't get to see those bands as often, so I'm like, all right, cool, I that's like a plus. You know, on top of the rest of the lineup for that fest in Columbia. So I was like, all right, like I have to go. So whenever I think New Jersey, like those, like Avery, Jason, like all those guys, like they're some of the first people that come to mind.
Yeah, and it's wild because I met Avery and Jason during Friends Cutter too. They played shows with like 96 and stuff. They would come to 96 shows, and also Sean was in, I can't remember the name of his band, but he actually tried to get 96 down the shore like a few times, but you know how that goes sometimes. But I just have so much respect for those guys, and I just love what they're doing. It's always great to see them, and I'm always trying to show up at Cinco de Mayo and stuff like that when they're throwing shows over there.
Yeah, that place is crazy. I was able to, the last time I was in Jersey, I went to Cinco, and you know, like obviously, like I knew what it was going into it, but then it was a matinee show, so I'm seeing like locals strolling in to get a burrito, not realizing there's a hardcore show going on, but them just being like, fuck it, like we're here for our food. And then, you know, living in Southern California, like, you know, there's a ton of great Mexican food. And, you know, when I travel out east, like finding good Mexican food becomes a little harder. And I remember people telling me like, hey, like you're from California, like we think this is good Mexican food, so like you should try it and tell us like what you really think. And honestly, like when I had the tacos at Cinco, I was like, oh, this is actually good Mexican food. Like I thought they were just saying it because it's like their local spot, but like Cinco actually serves up pretty good food.
Yeah, I got to play there because I actually filled in on guitar for Eyes of Fear at their Halloween show. We did a Danzig cover set.
Okay.
And we just put ourselves in fake blood and shut off all the lights and ran into everybody. It was awesome. It was so much fun. That was actually my first like hardcore show, like playing one in like really long time. It was like probably since I left Threat to Society, which was right before the pandemic. A lot of things happened right before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was a lot of fun. I got a lot of energy out that I hadn't been able to get out. I enjoy playing Sonic Boy stuff. I was in a band called True as well while I was in Threat to Society. That was like a Dinosaur Jr. kind of indie rock type thing. And I love doing that stuff, but I just miss playing hardcore bands. I miss jumping around like a fucking idiot, playing like super simple songs, you know? So that was cool. Yeah, Ricky and the guys asked me to do that. But I'm kind of riffing on some stuff. I kind of want to get some more hardcore stuff out there, but I just got to find time to sit back at my computer. I'm recording with Sonny Boy right now. I'm trying to get like 3 or 4 new songs out, which is cool, and I'm like feeling really great about them. I feel like they're like a big step up from the last couple songs I put out. But yeah, I'm just like, I'm kind of like juiced up, just like ready to go, you know. I'm trying to get more shows and just kind of hit the ground running.
You know, obviously, like the main reason why you came on today was to talk about Sonny Boy, so I'm happy to finally get to that. And when we first talked, I was like, all right, like, you know, I'm always down to check out new music, you know, and I never know, like, if it's going to be good or bad, right? Because it's just like, you know, when I run into people who are doing projects that I've never heard of, I'm like, all right, like, I always try to keep an open mind and always want to give, you know, just enough respect to just to check it out, right? Because you know, when I started the podcast, when I would reach out to people, right, there was a point in time where I had nothing to show. I was just some random dude who was going to shows, which is still the case. I'm still just a random dude, but you know, I got a, you know, a couple podcast episodes in my back pocket. But when I checked out Sonny Boy, I was just like, damn, this like is actually pretty fucking good. And I was actually surprised because I was going in there, I was like, I don't know if this is gonna be good, but I was like, whatever, like I'll check it out. But when I heard nothing for the first time, I was like, oh, this is sick. Like, how come I've never heard of it? But then come to find out, like, we have so many mutual friends. Yeah. I was like, how have I never heard of this before? I just felt like I was like living under a rock. Cause I asked a couple people about you. I was like, hey, have you heard of this guy? They're like, yeah, like he's been around. He does cool music. And I was like, okay, like, I've never heard of anybody talk about this guy before. This is crazy.
That's pretty funny. That's surprising to me that anybody would say that about me, because I've just been like doing my thing for a couple of years, and like none of my stuff ever got any like super popular or anything, or just did it with my friends and had some good shows and stuff. So it's I appreciate the kind words, man. And like, I know it's always hesitant when someone just like reaches out to you randomly. It's like, yo, check out my band, you know. So I appreciate you keeping an open mind about that. And yeah, man, I worked freaking real hard on those songs. I wrote those songs when I was like real down and out. Like, nothing really is just about, I do a bit before I play that song. It's like, I just say that this song is about how work makes me feel, and the song's called Nothing. And that's really how I felt the past like 4 or 5 years, like trying to make ends meet, trying to just pay rent and again, support our family. My wife is working, thank God, but you know, shrinking from 2 salaries to 1 out of nowhere, and then getting a job for like 6 months and then getting laid off again. It's like, how the fuck am I supposed to, you know, get a step ahead? So I just focused it in the songs, and like, hopefully, you know, it comes out. I'm trying to be as real as possible with it. I'm trying to talk about things that I feel like not need to be talked about, but should be talked about more. I feel like I'm seeing more now people talking about just their struggles with work, their struggles with just capitalism as a whole, and just their struggles with these systems that are kind of put in place for us now, you know. And I, like, everyone always says that the older you get, like, the more like conservative you get or the less radical you get, and it's been like so the complete opposite for me. I've just gotten more and more kind of jaded and annoyed with how everything is set up for all of us. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, I know so many people that work extremely hard and don't get shit for that hard work. They get underpaid and exploited, and it just makes no sense to me. It really doesn't. And that's, it's kind of has fueled a lot of my political perspectives and stuff. So yeah, I'm just trying to like, I'm trying to be real to myself. I'm trying to talk about stuff that I feel is important. I mean, I'll write love songs about my wife. That's a lot of fun too. But you know, I like to poke the bear a little bit and just really just talk about some things that are going on. I do kind of have the opinion, I wish some more bands were kind of taking a bit more of like a political stance, because when I was getting into punk and stuff, that was one of the things that really got me into it. Like, I bought a Rock Against Bush CD like when I was in high school, and it just kind of opened my eyes to the things I was being told when I was younger and the things that were happening. And I kind of put that stuff to the side when I was in college, and then earlier when I was younger. But as I just, you know, as more elections go past and as more years go by, it's like, everything is fucked up. There are so many people that are getting fucked over for no reason. And I think we all need to start collectively talking about it and figuring out a way how we can make all of our lives better, you know?
Yeah. I've never been super political throughout my life, but I never really understood how like how fucked up everything is, like, until I got like a little bit older. And even like the climate we're in now, right? Like, I, you know, we survived the Trump era, and I remember, you know, there's a point where everybody's like, all right, we just got to get him out and things will get better. And then got him out, things didn't get that much better. It might be even worse. Yeah. So it's just like, man, like, I don't know how we win, you know, as a country, because like, we can't even solve our own shit, but we're out here trying to, you know, fix the rest of the world. So I always found that to be really interesting. And then we're at a point where, like, You know, the government's openly talking about UFOs, or it's like, you know, aliens are supposed to be this, like, you know, like super, like secret, like, you know, like mythical thing. But now it's just like, oh no, like, you know, like, you know, the fact that they acknowledge it these days, it's like so crazy to me that that's a thing, but like it doesn't really seem to be like that big of a deal, where I feel like that should be like a bigger deal, where like, okay, wait, like they're acknowledging the existence of aliens, and like we're fighting about, I feel like, you know, things that could be like considered like trivial, like, you know, a bigger picture when we think about like, wait, like there's other things out there, like we shouldn't, you know, be thinking about, you know, ways to better all of us, not just certain groups or certain communities, when there's things like aliens out there. So it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's incredibly disappointing, the way things have kind of deteriorated after that election. I mean, it's not really disappointing. I feel like it was a little bit expected, but that's just my far lefty opinion. And I just, right now, I am so tired of like the binary choice that we're forced to make, the lesser evil choice that we're always asked to make. And it's just, there's got to be something better. I've been working, I just recently joined up with the Jersey City, like DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to help just get the word out about the uncommitted vote. So in New Jersey, we can vote uncommitted to kind of send a message to Biden, like, hey, we're not happy with you. Is it going to do anything? I have no fucking idea, but I'm just tired of yelling on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, I at least feel like I'm working towards something that I would like, whether I think it's realistic or not. I feel like I have to do something at this point. Like, so any form of direct action, whether it's phone banking or canvassing, or I'm trying to put on a show to raise some awareness about the uncommitted campaign. So I am very focused on that stuff. And some people will kind of probably shy away from that. But like I said, this band right now is just, it's me. It is entirely me. Like, my Instagram page is my personal band. There's no difference to me. You know, you're going to get all of me when you listen to Sonny Boy. You're going to get basically all of me when I'm just talking to you about music and stuff. You know, it's very... This thing has been a very big culmination of all the things that I've done, gone through, and kind of learned in my 20s and stuff like that. And I just feel like this is a very like natural sort of step forward with like my songwriting and stuff. And it's been interesting because I never wanted to sing for a band. Like, I never wanted to write lyrics or anything. I just wanted to play guitar and jump around and do that. But then I realized that if I don't learn to like sing and write lyrics, like, I'm not going to be able to play in another band. I'm going to have to rely on other people that might not be as into it as I am. Like, it's going to be very like, you know, kind of touch and go. So I decided to try it. And yeah, I don't know. I get people say nice things, which is great.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And I'm always curious because, like, you know, the EP came out, like, what was it, like October of last year?
Yep.
And yep. Were you able to play shows off of it?
Yeah, I played a couple. So I did a release show with a really good friends in Lake Effect over at this bar in Jersey City called Pet Shop. Mm-hmm. It's a really awesome bar run by a bunch of like older punks that kind of made like a more like upscale punk bar, and they do shows in their wine bar in their basement, and then they also have like an upstairs. And they're all free, and they just like really do a lot to support like the local bands here in Jersey City. And then I played a couple others. I played played at a brewery last week. That was a lot of fun. That was for a friend's brewery. It was their like 5-year anniversary. We played with this band called the Draculas, which is like a hard punk themed like surf rock band, which is really fucking awesome. But yeah, played a hand. I've probably only played about 6 or 7 shows so far. And yeah, I think I'm really just trying to get these new songs out so we get more than, because right now our set's only 20 minutes. It's only 5 songs because that's all we really have. I cover an Everclear song, and then sometimes we'll throw in a Replacements cover if we're like allowed to. 3 minutes. So yeah, as soon as these other songs come out, I'm going to try probably hit it a little bit harder to get some more shows, maybe travel out a little bit, get some weekends going and stuff, and do all that sort of stuff. I love playing shows, man. It's just so much fun. Just talking to people, just hanging for the night, having a couple of beers, and you know, listening to bands you never heard of, or playing with like your best friend's bands. Like, it's always a good time. I could never get bored of that shit.
Yeah, I have some friends from the Shore. They play in that band Cabulary. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them.
Oh no, I haven't heard of them. I gotta check them out.
Yeah, should try to link up and do some shows, because I always feel like the bands in like the hardcore bubble that aren't hardcore, you know, obviously I feel like maybe it's just me being naive, but I always feel like they always should unite, and you know, most of them pair together really well, but sometimes they just like miss each other. So it's just like, oh, like these bands from Jersey, you know, all you know, are in the hardcore bubble, but they might not know each other. So it's just like, when I listen to you know, you guys' music, I'm like, I think it could work.
Nice. Well, I'll definitely reach out to them, because I mean, I'm always looking to get more bands up in Jersey City, and yeah, we definitely love to play the Shore and stuff like that. I'm very into like doing collaborations with other bands and stuff. So I'm also releasing a split with this band, Laszlo. This dude, Zach, he was in a band called Steve the Band, which is like a pop punk band from Jersey. And I listened to his last EP and was just like really feeling the stuff he was talking about. And the songs were really catchy and stuff. And so I just reached out to him. I was like, yo, dude, you want to do a split? And he said yes. So I'm like very interested in putting out more splits with people just for the collaboration than putting out my own, like only my own stuff. I think there's such value in doing splits with people. You get more friends, more touring buddies, and like we were also trying to like write a song together, and that could always be like hit or miss when you're writing a song with someone you don't know. But you know, I'm just like very interested in still working with the people that want to play music, you know. Like I'm in my 30s now, and I talk to my other friends that are still playing music, and the people that have fallen off are the people that never really cared about playing music. They wanted to be in a band because, you know, they like to get drunk or they love the party and whatever, but never really gave a shit about like the actual band aspects of it that makes a unit move forward, you know? And now it's just like, if you want to do it, you either say yes or no. And if you say no, it makes sense, because we all got other things going on, you know?
100%. And in terms of new music for Sunny Boy, is the split that you mentioned going to come before your next project? Or like, do you have a timeline for all that?
So I'm not sure. I think what is going to happen is the split is supposed to come out. I've had some scheduling issues with my recording sessions, just because my fucking schedule has been crazy. So I need to finish vocals on one song, and the other dude needs to finish up some recording on his two parts of the split. So the tape single might come out first, but I haven't talked to Pat about exact timeline for that, just because I haven't even gotten the first mixes back. So hoping to have, you know, at three songs that'll be coming out like within the next, like say 2 or 3 months. And then I have drums for another 4 that are already recorded that I'm going to go back in probably end of summer, beginning of fall, and then probably just do like a 4-song EP for the fall or like early winter. So I got some stuff. I got a lot of other shit written too. I'm kind of like stacking up these demos right now, which is really nice. I've never had like a pick of the litter, you know. One of the songs that's coming out is actually the second song I wrote for this project. The first song I wrote, I mean, the most, I would say the first song I released was actually the most recent song I wrote at that time. It's been very weird kind of picking and choosing what I want to release first and everything. It's some songs have taken a little bit longer to get the lyrics right. Some I really just needed to sit on for like 6 months and not touch for a little while, and then go back with fresh ears. I've definitely learned a lot more to like not force it. I felt like a lot of times when I was in bands, I were practicing weekly and doing all that, like eventually like you just hit a wall and you just start forcing things that no one feels good about. And then it just ends up, you end up hating that song or hating playing that song, or it turns into like your least favorite song you ever wrote and shit like that. So I'm trying to be a little bit better about letting things like breathe and just, again, not forcing it. It's very hard to say, yes, this is good, this is finished. But also I find it incredibly detrimental if all you do is like, what's the word I'm looking for? It just like kind of obsess over it and never finish it and never be happy with it. You know, you got to find like that perfect in the middle. And, but at the end of the day, you got to be happy with it. So, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes it might not be worth it to want to force it. So I like it better. Yeah. When things just kind of come together naturally.
It's always good. And just like, and this songwriting really has become, it is a lot, it feels a lot more natural right now. When I was in TRU, I like dealt with a lot of like imposter syndrome because it was my first time singing and first time writing lyrics. And I was like, are these lyrics corny? Oh, can this melody be better? And I was surrounded by like a lot of really good musicians. My buddy Keith is one of the best songwriters I've truly ever met in my entire life. The kid writes lyrics that are just so beautiful, and just he sings them in these beautiful melodies, and like people like his bands and stuff like that, but like he's not, you know, he's not in any sort of like mid-tier touring band or anything. He just does it kind of for himself, releases shit solo whenever he wants. And you know, he really helped me a lot, like kind of getting the confidence with that. And Sonic Boy, I'm feeling like I'm like hitting my stride a little bit. I'm feeling a lot more comfortable with it. I'm experimenting with some different things. I'm playing some more like, I really love harmonized like leads, like the White Reaper, you know, fucking Iron Maiden type shit. So I'm trying to like throw stuff like that in there that is really like stuff that I loved when I was a lot younger and getting into music. So yeah, I don't know. It's becoming really its own thing right now. And I've gotten some kind words from some people I really like respect in the scene, which was a really big surprise, and just very like humbling. Very like, I don't feel like I'm wasting my time doing this.
Yeah, no. When I listen to music, I wouldn't think that you're wasting your time. I'm just, you know, surprised that there aren't more people talking about it. So, yeah, I think you should, you know, keep going. And I'm curious about the name. Like, how did you land on that?
So, all right. So, Sonny Boy, I like call my dog that because he lays in the sun, just like, hey, Sonny Boy, come over here. And then also like Sonny Boy, like I'm an Italian kid from New Jersey, and my dad would call me that all the time. Be like, hey, Sonny Boy, what's going on? And all like my older family. So I thought it was a funny little play, just to like give a little like jokey nod to my Ginzo heritage, and also name a band after my dog. So yeah, and the extra Y at the end literally is because there's like a rapper named Sonny Boy, and like you'd never be able to find me if I didn't add it.
Okay, that's awesome. At least there's a cool little backstory to it, because I was always curious if that was like a nickname or like where that came from.
Yeah, and there's actually a very specific picture of my dog Milo that like kind of inspired it. I'm gonna put it on an album cover or a t-shirt at some point, so y'all see it.
Okay, and obviously waiting on new music, but is there a point where like, do you have like a full-time like lineup for the rest of the band, or do you have like a pool of people that you have to reach out to for that?
So I do have a pretty set lineup, which is really awesome. My buddy Steve, who's the drummer, he has been the drummer in every band I've been in since like 2013. So he was the second drummer in 96. He was with us for like 5 years until we broke up. Then I joined Threat to Society, and then their drummer left and he joined Threat to Society, which I think he's still playing with them right now. And he also was my drummer for TRU. And me and him have just been like in lockstep musically, like since we met. Mm-hmm. It's just like one of those people that the two of us get in a room and we just start firing out songs. We're like very much on the same page. There's never like a weird like vibe difference on like the things we're trying to create together. And it's just, he's just so incredibly talented and so easy to work with. I immediately called him first and was like, do you have time to be in another band? Because as a drummer, he's typically in four or five bands. And then, so the other guitar player is my buddy, Rob Sherman. And that's like my fucking best friend in the world. He was in some hardcore bands like way back in the day. He was in a shoegaze band out of Brooklyn for a little while, but hasn't really played with anyone recently. So I was like, yo, if you have the time to do this, like, I would love for you to be a part of it. Like, you know, all that. And then, bass player is Keith. So he played guitar in True with me. He's also in a great band called Lake Effect. And that's who I was talking about before, who's one of the greatest songwriters. And I asked them and I was like, are you guys okay with me writing and recording everything? And then you guys just come and play. And they're like, yeah, that would be great. I was like, cool. I was like, we're not going to do weekly practice. Like, I'm not going to ask a ton of time from you guys. If you have other obligations, don't feel bad. Like, I'm really trying to put a lot of the onus on me and a lot of the responsibility on myself. So like, I don't really have to kind of like bend other people's schedules and stuff like that. It's a little harsh, but I enjoy kind of leading this, and it's been really great to have that understanding with everybody. And it's just, it's a new way to do things. And it just is very straightforward for me because I can work on songs whenever I want. We don't have to call a practice together, all that sort of stuff. So they've been great with it. I pay them whenever I can. I mean, if I ever make anything more than like $100, you know, split up those $20-$25 four ways. But it's just great. It's like really getting into a room with my best friends and just hanging out. And like I was saying before, it's like, it's still the dudes that just want to play music. And it's like a really great feeling to know that like, I'm not forcing anybody in there, or someone feels like they are like someone feels pressure that they don't want to like let someone else down because they're getting busy and stuff. Cause like I've been like that too, you know, like I've gotten busy and I'm like, fuck, I can't put enough time into this that I want to, but I feel like I owe the rest of the band this time, you know, because everyone else is putting their time into it. So this has just turned into like a much more streamlined way of doing it. And like, it kind of lets everyone just come in, play, and like have a lot of fun with it. They don't have to worry about money. They don't have to worry about like stressing out about writing songs and stuff. So it's cool. They come in, they give me little like suggestions and stuff. But for the most part, we just kind of jam together, play some shows, and chill.
And I can't help but notice, is that like a little like MIDI keyboard on that table behind you?
Oh yeah, that was actually the first thing I bought. So when I got laid off for the first time, I was working a sales job during COVID, and I didn't know when I was going to get another job. It probably took me like 8 months to find another one. So I was like, other than looking for jobs like 8 hours a day, I have to like teach myself to do something that like I will enjoy. So that's when I learned, I bought the MIDI keyboard, and that's when I learned just like how to record with GarageBand. I stole a fucking M-Box from like a really old job that I never got rid of. So I had like the equipment to plug it into my MacBook, and I just kind of hit it running. I'd spent a lot of really hair pulling, like frustrating days trying to learn how to just record on my own, and looking at YouTube videos and stuff like that. And I'm glad I did. Sonny Boy wouldn't be a thing if I didn't, because I demo all my songs in my office here before I even bring them to anybody, you know? So it's just allowed me the freedom to like create when I have time to. It allows me the freedom to create in like a comfortable space that, you know, at home. It's the best fucking decision I ever made, but I do not have patience to do it professionally. There's no fucking shot you can get me to sit there and be like, can you do that again and again and again? That's, dude, more power to all those producers. I would go nuts.
Yeah, and if you can remember those early days of learning GarageBand, like how did you know where to start?
Well, see, that's my thing with trying to learn new things is I'm always very hesitant to start because I don't know where the best place to start is. And it fucking drives me crazy because I'm like, oh, I want to like start in the best place. So like I'm learning the most I can. So I can learn this like pretty quickly and start like getting what I want out of it. Like these are all the thoughts I do before I just start something. So I just plugged it in, found like the pre-made drummers and started trying to figure stuff out. So like started cutting things really crudely and like overdubbing them extremely crudely. And like, they're not good. I would not show them to anybody by any means, but they're able to get my ideas down. I'm able to send them to Steve to be like, hey, these drums aren't perfect, but this is kind of the vibe I'm going for. So by the time we get to practice, like we're kind of good to go. We're already kind of like hit the ground running. So I really just like plugged it in. I started playing and then just started learning how to like repeat things and like all that other stupid shit. But it was a headache for sure. It was definitely a headache, but yeah, I'm happy I did it, but I think I'm at the limit of what I'm going to learn about it, because everything else seems way out of my league at this point.
Yeah, and you mentioned YouTube. I find it so like fascinating that YouTube is like free for the most part. Because I've learned a lot of things just through watching people on YouTube, which is amazing. So like this, like from like simple things like learning how to tie a tie to like, you know, learning all the skills that I have, like, you know, with editing like the podcasts or like the videos that I do. So I owe like a huge credit to the platform YouTube, which is crazy because like there's so much stuff out there.
I know, I feel like so many people do. It is really great to be able to like search for something and like learn something new. I've definitely been like, I've been trying to like read more. That is something that has definitely fallen by the wayside in the past couple of years for me. So like looking up like book recommendations on like YouTube and Instagram and like all that stuff has been really good. And like, yeah, just like learning new skills and even just like shitty, stupid skills. Like, how do I fix this thing really quickly instead of needing to call someone to do it for me? You know, it's just so much easier. And especially when, I mean, I rent, so I don't have to like really fix anything, but if something's fucked up and needs to be fixed, then like sometimes you can't wait 2 weeks till the landlord sends someone over, you know, you gotta just do it yourself. So yeah, it's definitely very valuable. And I'm happy I did it. I was very hesitant because I was like, oh, I'm never going to learn this. I'm never going to be good enough to do it, like, in order to, like, use it in my creative process. But I just, like, got pretty stoned and sat on the computer a couple hours a day and just fucking hit it. So, I'm really happy that I did. And again, no one's ever really going to hear those songs. So you'll hear those songs.
Yeah, but I think it's awesome to be able to just like have that determination and to learn a new skill. And it's always fun too, because it's just like, all right, like I don't know what I'm doing, but hopefully we figure it out. So yeah, no, because that's how I was when I started this podcast. I was like, I listen to a lot of podcasts. How do they do it? And then just like, and I didn't have anybody to lean on, because when I started talking about it with like my friends, people were just like, what are you talking about? And, you know, like I'm happy that I did it, because, my early episodes are still up. Like episode number one isn't up. It's on like SoundCloud somewhere. I don't know what happened to it, like why it's not on Spotify and all that, but it's on SoundCloud somewhere. I got to find it. But you know, it's all there. Like you can literally listen from like episode two to your episode, and there's growth, because what I was doing in the beginning, it doesn't sound like anything that I'm doing today. And it was just like a fun ride, because I was just like, all right, like I thought I had the microphone that I wanted, and then just like learning about equipment, and then recording with like different programs and just like kind of like trying to perfect like my process like over the years. And even to this day, like I'm still experimenting, doing things behind the scenes that people probably wouldn't even notice, but it's like, you know, changes here and there, seeing if I like it. Sometimes there's things that I do that I don't like. And then I just like revert back to things like, you know, to the way that I feel like it worked better. But it's like, yeah, like I had no formal training. It's all because of YouTube, Reddit, and then just like talking to people about like, you know, certain processes, like talking to people who actually like are real producers and engineers and just trying to like pick their brain on like just like little things that wouldn't mean much to them, but like would like, you know, make the big difference for me.
Yeah, I think that's like probably the most fun part about like trying to learn something new, especially in like a creative space like podcasting or recording music or something like that, is just meeting people to have new conversations with about stuff. And it's just always fun. I find it always fun to just fascinating to pick people's brains and things that they're interested in. Because I mean, like, we love hardcore. People love other things. And I'm like so interested to see why they're so into those things and like what brought them to it and stuff. It's just, it's very cool. And I'm very, it's always fun learning new things and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And musically, outside of Sunny Boy, do you have anything else? Like any other bands you're playing in? Or
no, not right now. So one band has been kind of like enough. I've been riffing on some stuff that I've been riffing on some like hardcore songs that have been like hanging out in the back there. Like I threw some riffs together like a month ago, and I actually just revisited it a couple days ago. I was like, oh wait, I actually think I like one of these things. So I kind of want to put out like another hardcore EP. It'll probably be like, I mean, I'm super in, like, I would say it would be like an Enforced meets like a No Warning type deal. No Warning's like my favorite band pretty mm-hmm. much of all time. And I've always just been into super thrashy, like breakneck stuff. So I always try and like write little crossover thrashy basically with like some really mean two-step parts. I'm gonna see if I can get something together with that. But I'm just trying to write, trying to play, trying to just keep doing that. It's just, I never thought I'd be doing this now, and I'm so happy that I still can, and it just, it fits within my life because it's just such a big part of my life, you know. So I'm hoping to maybe get some stuff out of Sunny Boy, but we'll see.
Okay, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this current band from Jersey called Bayway. I'm sure you're familiar.
Oh yeah, those guys are hard as hell. I love that shit. They're blowing up, man. I'm like very happy for those dudes. I don't know any of them personally, but I went to, let's see, I can't remember what show it was, but I like that they're just going for it. Like the sound that they wanted, they just like turned it all the fucking way up and like kind of like no apologies. Like, we are the New Jersey hardcore band. Like, we have taken every piece and bit of good New Jersey hardcore and put it into this band, and I fucking love that. But yeah, they've been fucking crushing, man. It always makes me happy when I see bands blow. I always hate when people hate on bands that they think might have like fucking blown up for one reason or another, but like it always makes me happy when people have an easier time and that are writing good songs and doing good things and playing shows and traveling around. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes that shit just clicks with people, and that's awesome. it's such a good thing. And again, it just makes the scene stronger by having good bands around, you know, and having bands that people want to see from out of state. Like, it's just, it's all good things. I truly believe that, fuck it. I'm not even going to try and fucking talk about whatever this analogy is, but it's just a fucking good thing.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, I remember I was, I was in Pennsylvania, and I can't remember if we were like driving to New Jersey or coming back from New Jersey. But I was with my buddy Jacob Smith, and we were just talking about music, and he'd mentioned Bayway. And I was like, I'd never heard of Bayway. So he put me on to Bayway. And it seems like as soon as I found out about them, I was like, all right, like I'm like playing catch up. But at the same time, like they're on like this crazy rise, and it's just cool to see them getting so much love and just, you know, being popular, and also just being so proud to be from New Jersey. Because I always love when people rep their area super hard, because I'm from like the Palm Springs area, but I moved to Orange County, but I've lived in Orange County now for about like 14 years. So I rep Orange County hardcore, you know, as hard as I can. And I'm very, you know, proud of like, you know, what's currently going on and all the awesome bands that have come before. So when I run into other people who are just so passionate about where they come from, I just think it's super awesome. Because, you know, sometimes people might want to like, you know, romanticize like other scenes, which is cool, you know, like I get it. Like I'm like a fanboy of like a ton of other scenes, but you know, it's always like, for me, Orange County is number one, and I'm like, you know, not afraid to say it. So when I see bands like Bayway who are just so proud to be from New Jersey, I'm just like, that's so fucking cool.
Dude, I fucking love New Jersey. I will fucking rep this place always. I went to school in Long Island, and I would have people telling me how shitty New Jersey is, and I like wherever else people don't really like get it. Just like, but like people around here, they're like, they're strong individuals. A lot of people have gone through some fucking bullshit around here, you know, especially everyone in like kind of like it's just very, it's easy place to live for some people, it's a tough place to live for a lot of people, but it's very passionate about the people that come out of it are very passionate, and they give, like, they really give a fuck about the things that they do because they love it so much. And I don't know too many other places that are like that. Like, I live directly next to New York City, and Manhattan is like a rich kid's program right now. Like, there's really, ABC No Rio closed down. Like, maybe I'm out of it because I'm not in there a lot, but I don't know of any local scene in fucking New York City. If anything, it's in Queens or Brooklyn or something like that. And I know there's like a really cool like screamo scene going on right now. I met this dude that runs Mob 8 Records. He put out the Negative Force tape, and that actually opened my eyes to like a whole genre that I didn't think people were like fucking with. And it was like very like chaotic screamo, like very just, I don't even know who to compare it to, but it was super fascinating to like know that like shows are getting packed out for like all these types of bands and stuff too. And some of them were from New Jersey and shit. So like, I kind of was turned on to a little bit, but like, I wouldn't see that happening in Manhattan. Like, that's something I feel like would only happen in like Brooklyn and Queens. And then again, I could be completely wrong and be naive about that whole thing, but it's just, playing in New Jersey was always great because you fucking couldn't play in New York City, and you had to start like your own spots and do all that. Like, the Meat Locker in Montclair has been around for fucking ever. It's the best place in New Jersey because it's the only place for DIY bands to come around and have even a slight chance of having a good show. You talk to anybody from New Jersey in a scene, they'll know what the Meat Locker is because it's been around since like the 80s, you know? And it's just places like that. The guy that runs that place is like an old dude that I have no idea what he does. I see him around every now and then. We have a random conversation, but he's just been doing it to do it because he likes it. And he lets like kids that want to run the space for him and book the shows. And that's why it's been a long, there's like so many different generations of people that have like been through there, you know? And I just always find that sort of passion, that sort of drive to keep these things going, like, so admirable. And again, it just makes the scene great. It makes it inclusive for so many people. And yeah, I don't know how other scenes are and stuff like that, but I feel very great about how people kind of do things around here. It's just, it's cool to be a part of, cool to do, you know.
100%. I respect New Jersey. I love bands. I mentioned earlier, Capillary. Go check them out. They're awesome. Yeah, sure. Cut Down, Never Again. Awesome bands. And then even Takedown Records, you know, all the shows that they're doing. Like, it seems like they're doing a lot of shows at that Salty's place. I think that's what it's called, right? Salty's?
Yeah, Salty's Beach Bar. And then they do a bunch of the shows at White Eagle Hall, too. So that's cool. Bayway's actually having their like music video recording at that Drain show that's happening over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's going to be wild. That's going to be a crazy ass show.
Yeah, so New Jersey's always been killing it. I feel like there's always been cool stuff coming out of New Jersey since I've been involved in hardcore. So it's always cool for me to be able to talk to anybody from the area. So I appreciate you taking the time to do this. But before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
Nah, just stay tuned. I got some good stuff coming out. Check out RTF Records. That's the fucking dogs. And yeah, man, thank you for having me. This was like such an awesome conversation.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. So let's do it again when the next record comes out, or the split.
Hell yeah, man. Let's do it.
All right. Well, Patrick, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.